In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes his first statement regarding the law pertaining to divorce. On today, we're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount so we understand this sermon, and we're going to look specifically at Jesus' statements regarding divorce. And what you're going to realize is what we have been taught in the church is not what Jesus said. Make sure you stay tuned.
You are listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show with your host and teacher, Darius Good. He is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center and founder of Good Treasure Ministries. He is the author of the books Unlocking Godly Wisdom and The Divorced Christian. For more information, visit the website at thedivorcedchristian.com. And now, here's your host, Darius Good.
Thank you for joining us today. You're listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show. My name is Darius Good. I am the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center, which is located in Connecticut. We have built this platform for Christians who have experienced divorce, and I'm the author of two books, The Divorced Christian, as well as The Loophole. Both of these books provide a detailed explanation of Jesus' statements regarding divorce. We look at the law of Moses and their interpretation of the law, because what I learned was most of our Christian teachings are interpreted using American definitions, American words, American understanding, even our legal system. We kind of use that as part of our influence to interpret the scriptures. And we draw a wrong conclusion regarding the statements that Jesus has made. We have to understand the time in which Jesus lived, their definition of their words, and how their legal system interpreted the law of Moses. And in doing so, we're going to come to a completely different conclusion of the statements that Jesus made. Visit our website today, thedivorcedchristian.com. You'll find information regarding these two books. There's another very important book that I have on that website. It's entitled The Jewish Law of Marriage and Divorce in Ancient and Modern Times. The book is by Dr. Moses Melziner. The book was written in 1884. And as I studied out specifically the subject of divorce, since 2021, all the conclusions, all the understanding I came to, I also found in this book. And so this book corroborates all my teachings. As people have told me, I've made my teachings up, like I've drawn these conclusions, and I haven't. This is the actual interpretation of the law. And not only can you see it, is it written in history. As I explain how the law is interpreted, we can find examples throughout the Bible that aligns with this understanding of their laws. And so, pick up that book. You can actually read the book for free. I have the link in the episode description, as well as the link to the website, thedivorcedchristian.com, where you can find my books and other resources that I have that provides explanation of the stuff that I'm teaching on this particular platform. And so, I have a brand new book that's out. It's entitled The Sermon on the Mount. And I've been teaching from this book for the last several episodes because we're going to run through it again, the outline of the Sermon on the Mount, because I realized that Christians created this doctrine related to the sayings and statements by Jesus, but Jesus' statements were really rooted in the law of Moses. And so everything he stated was not only in the law of Moses, but those laws were also enforced by the Jewish court system, which means that they weren't new laws. And so what I'm going to do is present the outline today of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is where we find Jesus' first statements regarding divorce. But if we don't understand the outline, the structure of his sermon, Jesus' sermon, then we draw these multiple conclusions. This is why we have different churches all saying, well, I think he said, and this one saying, I think he said, and another says, I believe he said, and that's fine. But Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about, and not only Jesus, but the listeners understood, the Jewish people, because they knew the law of Moses. And so let me give you a quick outline, and I'm teaching from my book on today, the Sermon on the Mount. This information is also in today's episode notes. So click on those links when you get a chance. So let's lay out the outline of the Sermon of the Mount, which everyone has gotten wrong. So this is the outline. Or let me say this. This is what's been taught. It's been taught that Jesus was establishing new laws. So that's one line of teaching that I've heard. The second line of teaching explains that Jesus was teaching the true intent of the law. And so the law of Moses only focused on external behavior, outward, where Jesus came to focus on the inward. Okay. The third teaching is that Jesus came to correct specific laws that God was not pleased with that Moses put into place. Now, very quickly, I'm going to tell you why all these teachings are wrong. So number one, Jesus was not establishing new laws. Why? Because all these laws are in the law of Moses. They're all in the Torah. They all were a part of the judicial system and enforced by the Jewish court, which means they're not new laws. In addition, Jesus made this statement in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, I did not come to destroy the law. So he didn't come to make any changes to the law. If you make an amendment to the law, then the law has been changed. And so Jesus said, that's not my purpose for coming. So we're going to explain his purpose in a few minutes. Number two, Jesus did not focus on the inward as opposed to the outward. How do we know this? Because the law of Moses said, thou shalt not covet. And if you go to Leviticus 19, it says, do not hate thy brother in thy heart. The next verse actually states, and thou shalt not hold a grudge against your brother. And that verse actually goes on to say, this is Leviticus 19, verse 18. It goes on to say, but love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we have a direct quote from the law of Moses made by Jesus when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he said to love God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, which is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And then he says to love thy neighbor as thyself. These two laws are equal. He's quoting the law of Moses, but I've heard Christians say Jesus was establishing new laws. They can't be new laws if you can find them in the law of Moses. So I just laid out three stances or examples there in Leviticus that talks about addressing inward hatred, covetousness, which is the law that says thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. So that's in the Ten Commandments. And then we deal with the issue of, so we have hatred, covetousness, and holding a grudge. All this is internal. So that whole concept of Jesus focusing inward, that is bogus as well. Now, the last one of Jesus establishing, coming to bring correction to the law of Moses would paint the picture that there's errors in God's law, or God allowed Moses to make changes to the law, which he permitted for thousands of years, and then sent Jesus to come and bring correction. So that whole ideology is very strange to me. And many will make the argument that the law of Moses was different than the Ten Commandments. So God gave Israel the Ten Commandments. The law of Moses is what he made up. That all is completely false as well. As if you read Exodus chapter 19, the entire nation stood before God at Mount Sinai. God comes down in this cloud. They have thunder, lightning, etc. And then God begins to speak. And the people were terrified. But what did he say? He lays out the Ten Commandments and kept going. He laid out additional laws. So this whole idea that Moses began putting new laws in place of his own, in addition to the commandments, the Ten Commandments, is false. It's not even accurate reading of the scriptures. But there's a passage that they love to say there in the book of Psalms. So in Psalms 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. The scripture says his law is perfect. Well, they try to say the law is only the Ten Commandments, not the law of Moses. But that passage continues. And at verse 8, it says the statutes of the Lord are right. The statutes are a part of the law of Moses, the 613 laws that God put in place through Moses to govern the nation of Israel. So there's no errors, no mistakes in the law of Moses. And that's not what Jesus was saying. So let me lay out the outline for you so we can move forward and focus on these statements that Jesus makes regarding divorce. So number one, to understand the outline, Jesus outlines his sermon, as any good minister would do, so the audience understands what we're discussing on today. He said, if anyone teaches you to break the least commandments, and if that's what they're doing, they shall be the least in God's kingdom. And then he goes on to say, but if any of you do the commandments, then you shall be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. So he's laying out what he's about to discuss with the nation of Israel. Now, the part that we miss is because they think the outline to the sermon is the Beatitudes. And I explained on last episode, the Beatitudes is really a blessing, which was very a traditional rabbinical practice where they will begin their sermons by blessing the people. And what does it do? It's creating the atmosphere, the environment, so that the audience's mind is turned towards spiritual things. And we're going to now focus on heavenly things. We're going to focus on God. It's any normal church service that I've been in, we read a scripture in the beginning. We're setting the tone. We're setting the atmosphere. And then after that, we begin to go into the explanation of what we're going to discuss on today. So that's what Jesus did in his sermon. He outlined it and said, listen, they're lesser laws that are being broken here in Israel, and we're going to discuss these lesser laws because it's important that we keep the law in its entirety, not just the great laws, but we have to keep the lesser laws as well. And then he says, our righteousness must exceed the Pharisees and the scribes. So Jesus begins to identify groups in Israel that were causing the nation to break these lesser laws. Their doctrine, their teaching, their belief system, their influence on Israel was having a negative effect. And so Jesus, as a prophet of God, is saying we have to return to the law in its entirety. Why? Because the Mosaic covenant was built on the concept that Israel would keep every word of the law. That was the agreement made in Deuteronomy. And so Jesus is calling the nation back to repentance. And he's speaking out against it's about seven groups that I listed in the Sermon on the Mount that he addressed directly. And he names the scribes, he names the Pharisees. Additional groups were like the heathens, the Gentiles. Others that Jesus did not mention by name would be like the Zealots or the Essenes. And so all that is I cover in the book, the Sermon on the Mount that I've written. I don't think we're going to cover it so much on this platform, but you can hear it on my Good Treasure podcast platform as I'm going through all these teachings, very detailed teaching, so we understand exactly what Jesus was saying. So now that we understand this outline of him targeting lesser laws, and the importance of not breaking these lesser laws, and not being influenced by these particular groups, this is what the nation of Israel would have been familiar with. They understood their political climate. They understood the religious influence and who these groups were, who the scribes are, who the Pharisees are. Jesus doesn't mention the Sadducees in this particular sermon, but he mentions them later. He also talks about the Herodians. So we have all these groups there in Israel that are influencing the nation of Israel. And Jesus is targeting the fact that, listen, it's causing us to break these lesser laws. So this is the pattern, as he says, but I say unto you. So he's going to first state a law in the law of Moses, and then he follows it and says, but I say unto you, the statement that he says after that is a lesser law in the law of Moses. So in my book, The Sermon on the Mount, I go through and I explain the greater law, lesser law for every statement that Jesus made. On today, we're not going to cover that. We're going to look exactly at specifically divorce. So when you go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 31, we have Jesus' statement where he says, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. So this will be one of the greater laws, or the term they would use would be the weightier law. And so in Israel, they had weighty laws and lighter laws. If there was an issue of contradiction, the weightier law would outrule or supersede the lighter laws. Now, in my book, The Sermon on the Mount, I explain how Jesus never violated the law of Moses, how he did not violate the Sabbath. Because I hear teachers, Christian ministers, saying Jesus violated the Sabbath. You can't call Jesus righteous if he's breaking the law. So Jesus kept the law and at all points. So let me give you a few scriptures that explain that. Jesus himself stated, he said, "Which of you convicteth me of sin?" No one could convict him of sin. He hadn't broken the law of Moses. That's John chapter 8, verse 46. Another statement, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, explains that Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 explains, Peter said, "Jesus did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." So those are just a few scriptures that explains Jesus. We view him as this righteous man, but we don't view it in context of the law. Jesus did not break the law of Moses. And this is why Jesus was able to die for our sins, because he was the epitome of righteousness. So in my book, The Sermon on the Mount, I highlight four laws specifically that supersede the Sabbath day. So we have Christians that are teaching Jesus violated the Sabbath day. It's not true. It's a result of their misunderstanding or lack of understanding of the law of Moses. And so Jesus highlighting gave examples of the four laws that supersede the Sabbath day. So Jesus never violated the Sabbath day at all. So let's go back. Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. He states the law of Moses. This law is found in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. So when you go to Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, it pretty much outlines the importance of the woman receiving a bill of divorcement in order to be legally divorced in Israel. So you simply could not send her away. Or another phrase would be put her away, which we find in the New Testament scriptures here. So if you're familiar with the teachings here on this platform, we've been explaining that a woman that is put away is simply a woman that's separated. So in the New Testament scriptures, when Jesus used the word put away, that word is apolio. If you go throughout the scriptures, you find that word used in the context of meaning to send away. So Jesus would send the multitude away. That word send away is interpreted apolio. So in Israel, when they sent a woman away, it's really what we refer to as being separated. So a woman that has been put away or is separated from her husband is not a legally divorced woman. She must first receive her bill of divorcement. So in Israel, understanding Jewish culture, women that were separated from their husbands received a status called aguna, A-G-U-N-A-H, or agunat, or agunat, A-G-U-N-O-T. Now, if you do a basic Google search and you type these words in, you'll find that an aguna or a agunat woman, she is a Jewish woman unable to marry because her husband refused to or cannot grant a get. The get is the bill of divorcement. And so this created a legal, a social, and personal crisis there in Israel. It's a major crisis according to the Jewish law, and they're trying to find solutions to this problem. And so our unfamiliarity with Jewish culture has created our misunderstanding of Jesus' statements here. So the law in Israel required the woman to give the priest her bill of divorcement or her get in order to be remarried. The law allowed women to remarry as long as they were legally divorced and had their bill of divorcement. This is Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. The law forbade women to go back to their first husband if she entered into a second marriage and had consummated that marriage. So that's a part of the law of Moses. That's not a part of U.S. law. But other than that, this is just normal laws where if a woman is legally divorced, she has her divorce decree or bill of divorcement, she's now a free woman able to remarry. Now, when we look at Jesus' next statement, this is where the confusion has come in because of the misunderstanding of the pattern Jesus had put in place with his sermon. So what's been taught is that Jesus was now putting restrictions in place that only allowed you to get divorced if adultery was committed. And this was the understanding based on this statement that Jesus made. I'll read you the statement, verse 32. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Now, some translations doesn't use the word fornication. Some use the word sexual immorality. So this is where they draw the conclusion of adultery. And of course, the law of Moses states clearly that if adultery has been committed in the marriage, the married woman and the man that was with her are required to be put to death. So that's Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. And in several passages, there's several laws that states, thou shalt not commit adultery, which would be Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 18, and also Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. So now if Jesus has put a limitation in place and says you can only get divorced for adultery, that would be a change of the law. And that is a contradiction of what Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 at the beginning of his sermon. So right in the same sermon, he's saying, I did not come to destroy the law, but then he turns around and destroys the law. So clearly, Jesus is having a much different conversation than what the church is comprehending and understanding. So if you follow the pattern that I've explained of greater laws, lesser laws, that would mean that Jesus made the statement, thou shalt not commit adultery, and then turns around and is now stating a lesser law that can be found in the Torah. Now, let's be very clear on this. The word put away is one of the major issues with this particular verse. So when you go to verse 32, what you're going to find, the word apolyo, A-P-O-L-Y-O, is used in the very beginning of the statement. That whosoever shall apolyo, put away his wife. Let's skip the fornication issue. Let's go right to whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, which you'll find is the word divorced, is not in the scripture, is not used in this passage. The word Jesus actually used is apolyo again. This is a woman that's been put away. So as the law stated, if you put away his wife, then you are required to give her a bill of divorcement. So if she's put away, she is a separated woman. She's still legally married to her husband until she receives the writing of divorcement. So Jesus is stating that whosoever shall separate or put away his wife, and whosoever shall marry her that is apolyo, marry her that has been put away, commits adultery because she's still legally married to her husband. Now, here's the major question. If I'm correct, then there should be a law in place in Israel in which adultery, the crime of adultery, is connected to a woman being still legally married to her first husband. And the answer is that's exactly how the law worked in Israel. So they had two separate laws. One is considered an adulterous marriage. The other one is considered adultery. And so in adultery, a woman has been with a man that's not her husband. That's the act of adultery in which the woman could be put to death and the man that was with her was also put to death alongside her. But an adulterous marriage was a whole different law. In essence, it would fall under, you know, marital or divorce laws or family law, as we would view it from an American standpoint. But this is a woman who's now entered into a marriage and her divorce is not legally binding. Now, the question is, was this a problem there in Israel? Why would he address this? Because clearly, Jesus is addressing several groups, right? Sadducees, scribes, and the different groups there, as he mentions there in the sermon. And so, what you come to learn is, one, they had a massive aguna problem, or agunat, in which women the husbands would disappear, or they could not get their divorce documentation. And these women were trapped in their marriage where the priests would not remarry them. So that's been an ongoing issue. It's still a current issue there in Israel. And you could just simply Google search Aguna crisis, And you will learn that this is the case, that they're trying to still solve this particular problem there in Israel. But then they will raise a question, if that's the case and these women can't remarry, what's the purpose of Jesus stating this law if women are not entering into adulterous marriages? And this is where in my book, The Loophole, I had to do some massive research on this, but I discovered historically that the nation of Israel had to put a new law in place because the men were they were annulling their divorces, meaning they went to court, got a legal divorce with their wife, and then they had the right to annul the divorce. But they were doing it without making the wives aware. And so the Supreme Court there in Israel had to pass a law because these women were entering into a second marriage, believing they were free, that they had the divorce papers, and they were discovering later that they were still legally married to their first husband. And so this is the reason that there was a massive number of adulterous marriages there in Israel. Now, we're going to figure out why did Jesus use the word fornication as being the exception and not adultery? Jesus used the word fornication. He knows what adultery is. Why did he do this? We'll cover this in our very next episode. Make sure you join us next time. Be blessed.
You've been listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show with your host, Darius Good. This was a Good Treasure Ministries production. Darius is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center, and he is the author of the book, The Divorced Christian. To learn more about this book and other books written by Darius, or to listen to other episodes of our podcast show, visit our website today at thedivorcedchristian.com. We pray that today's episode has brought revelation, understanding, and healing. Please like, share, and subscribe to our podcast show. And until next time, be blessed.